What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
...of women's cultures way back in antiquity when these feminine-based cultures were the predominant cultures, and by the way, they could never find any remains of people who had died violently in wars in these cultures. I was really understanding the impact of a culture that was created and formed out of a patriarchal model, which is the predominant model. Well, it's kind of fading. We're moving into a different time, fortunately. But for thousands of years, it has been the predominant model that has existed throughout the world. So this was a major time of discovery, self-discovery. It was a time for me to open my eyes, to step out of some old paradigms that I had been locked into before I even knew it, have influenced me. And it was an amazing discovery of the return of the feminine wisdom. And I write about this in my book, Hormone Heresy. There's a whole chapter about the forgotten essence of these ancient cultures based on the feminine principle. And what we learned from those discoveries as we uncovered these cultures and how it's impacting us today. So having said all that, I kind of said it as a preamble to introduce my guest today, who is Saida Desilets. She is the author of a fascinating book called Emergence of the Sensual Woman, Awakening Our Erotic Innocence. Saida has a PhD and is a passionate and innovative author, seminar leader, and universal Tao instructor. She is the founder of both Jade Goddess and the Desilets Method, internationally acclaimed programs. Something that takes Saida around the world, and she is dedicated to empower the self-evolution of individuals through tried and true methods that not only yield results, but also inspire creativity and a higher quality of living. Well, that's just a little kind of taste of what we're going to be talking about today. So it's my pleasure to welcome Saida to the show. Hello, Saida.
Hello, Sheryl. It's beautiful to meet you, finally.
I know, and I want to say aloha to you because I know you are living in beautiful Maui.
Yes, and it's a gorgeous sunny day, and it's gorgeous.
The essence of feminine energies is Hawaii, so it's just appropriate that you're there. You know, I have been reading your book. I find it so fascinating, and we have lots to talk about because Saida really is helping women around the world. I know you lecture widely throughout the world. I don't know how many countries, 11 or more, I think you've been teaching and visiting, talking about the sacred feminine, sacred sexuality, these ancient, it's actually ancient wisdom that we are rediscovering that is empowering women. And so much of the empowerment of women, healing women from what I call the wounds of the patriarchy, is rediscovering, reclaiming the power that's found within our own sensual and sexual nature. Does that ring true for you, Saida?
Absolutely. I have never met a single woman who, when she comes in contact with her own body and her heart and is deeply connected and devoted to that, who is completely in her own sense of empowerment. And so I agree with that, yes.
And we are in an interesting time because I do believe, as so many people do, and I know you've talked about this in your book, it's a time of the emergence of the feminine, when we are shifting our consciousness and awareness to a culture that's integrating the best of feminine qualities and masculine qualities, which is a powerful combination when we can get into harmony. So that's what I'd like to talk about today, more about what all this means and how we as women can create the healing and balancing that we need to step into our power so we can contribute to this shift that's happening, which all sounds very esoteric, but we're going to talk about some practical things. Saeeda, my first question to you is, what is it that brought you to this work?
That's a beautiful question. I believe I was sort of born to teach about sexuality. I was born into a family that was very healthy that way, and there was a good introduction to boundaries, as well as just some freedom to express my little self in my delight of life. And as I came into adulthood, it was very clear through my girlfriends and colleagues that they hadn't had the same background. They didn't have the same joy in erotic innocence. So that's the subtitle of the book, is Awakening Erotic Innocence. And so I came to the subject of sexuality very open, but realized that actually there wasn't that much information that really resonated from where I was coming from this space of erotic innocence. So I decided to do a little bit of training. I learned some internal qigong. I practiced with something called the jade egg, which we can speak of later. And even then, when I was introduced to those practices, my first teachers were all men, and their interpretation of the practice didn't feel yummy in my body. Thankfully, I had a very intact, rebellious nature and started exploring, well, what would feel yummy, because obviously these practices have some value, but they're just not feeling completely matched. And that's what birthed what I am now teaching. And I was invited to teach because women were seeing how I was living, and they were saying, wow, what are you doing? Can you share what you're doing? You seem really yummy and alive and inspired. And I said, yes, I'll teach you a small group. And then from there on, I decided to get credentials and blah, blah, blah. So that's how it started, very much from an organic place. And I've always had a deep passion for truth and a deep love of the body and sensuality and pleasure.
Well, what did you notice when you were observing what was going on with other women when you started doing these workshops? What is the challenge? What is our issues, you know, what as women accepting our sexuality? And I want also the second part of the question, Saeeda, is to really help women understand why are we talking about sexuality? Why is that important?
Right.
Is it something that we need to, you know, not just understand, but heal and address in our lives? What is the purpose of doing that? So those are
okay.
Kind of big questions.
Remind me if I forget that second question. The first one is what I observe in seminars and workshops when I'm introducing the topic to women. And there's two main things that come forward very clearly. One is, why didn't we learn this when we were young? That's huge. Just even some basic anatomy, physiology, understanding how the body functions, so that whole functional aspect of the body, getting really familiar with who we are and how we work as females. And then the second part is outside of just the function, and this is the part that seems to strike a deeper chord with women, is we're more than just people that have sex or people that have babies or people that have periods or people that go through menopause. There's something else to sexuality, and that's the deeper meaning of it. And so then I go a lot into that profound aspect of why, in the first place, which I think links into your second question, we have sexuality in our lives. And so what is that deeper meaning? Why does it exist for us? And why is it so important? So these are all the types of questions that I love to bring forward and see what emerges. And in the end, at the foundation, one of the deeper meanings is that we are beings that are animated with life force. Some people call this sexual energy. Some people call this metabolism. There's all kinds of names. I like to consider it, just calling it life force, so that which animates me. Some people even call it erotic energy. Whatever it is, it's like a creative life energy that's moving through your body. That's what makes us alive. And when we connect with this from a place of benevolence, from a place of really claiming that, oh, wow, this is me, this is my body, my life force, and we open our hearts and we open our minds, there's an incredible shift that happens where you can see women just go, oh, I'm home. I haven't been home for a while, but now I'm home. And that's profound, because being at home with ourselves in these times is quite important, because there's so many destabilizing things happening in the world. So even if better orgasms or better sexual health or those kinds of things aren't attractive to someone, the fact of the matter is, as we go into these practices, it's really about this deep, what I call primary relationship with self. And when that's in place, we are a lot more capable of being creative, which is what the life force energy inspires us to be, in situations that can be challenging, like the ones we're facing right now. And so I find that this issue of claiming our sexuality isn't just about the bedroom, and it isn't just about having more health. It's also about how to be a fully expressed human being in a time where we really need all parts of us to get aligned. There can't be just one little part shoved off to the side and ignored. So that's probably the most profound insight that comes through in the seminars.
You know, our culture is so wounded when it comes to sexuality. I believe the statistic is 1 out of 4 women have been sexually abused. It may even be more than that. We're seeing all sorts of images in our culture of the abuse that women take, the power that sex has, or from male perspective over women. We see women trying to use their sexuality to get attention from men or whatever they want in life. I mean, we have all these distorted behaviors and pictures and cultural references and our own wounds. I want to say that when I was a psychotherapist, I was working with so many women who came with their health issues or their psychological issues, and when we uncovered them, it was due to sexual abuse at some place in their life, one form or another. And this is such a big issue. Can you address why this really needs to be looked at by women, why we need to understand this is important to heal, and what we are going to be able to access once we do address and heal these places where we've been hurt and wounded?
Right. Yes, that's a very deep question. And first of all, I just want to give a little background for me, because a lot of people assume that I'm just this perfect creature and never had any problems. But I myself come from a background of having had a violent rape experience, nearly dying from an STD experience. I mean, many different traumatic things to my body, a lot of issues, different surgeries to, my genitals, that kind of stuff. And everything's completely healed now. There's not even scar tissue. And I'm living a really deep, loving relationship with a man. And it's so healing is really important, because we are not the sum of the one moment where we were hurt. We are much bigger than that. And when we don't choose to look at what's in the way of really being expressed as a human being, we keep alive that one moment for the rest of our life. And yet there's all these other moments coming forward and wanting to initiate us. So I often look at any hurt in my life as a place of power. If I can move towards it, if I can understand what's behind the pain, what's behind the anger or any of the emotions, 100% of the time, I come out the other side feeling more empowered, more alive, and more human. And that's what's really important, because I think a little bit what's happened with the movement of spirituality in our modern times is that we've forgotten that it's actually really beautiful to have a human experience. And having human experiences, it's sometimes messy. It's not perfect. And so this work is about coming back and being at home with and really loving into wholeness the parts of us that maybe haven't been loved for a long time or were hurt and we've just sort of pushed them to the side. And what you say about the body showing issues that have come from a past abuse or a past trauma, this is very, very true. And this is because we can't actually separate our nature from the body, our emotions, our psychology. It's all interconnected. And in fact, the more we can look at the places that we're hurt, obviously we can get help and support in different ways, but the more we can have a look at that and claim that, the more aliveness we will feel and the younger we will experience ourselves to be. And I mean that not just on a physical level, but also in the mind and in our heart. And there's nothing in life more worthy than having a high-quality life where in the moment you're just feeling your full expressed self and have this benevolent relationship to the people around you and what's going on. So if we don't do that work, then all we tend to do is to attract either more of the same pain, either we have a circle of friends who've all been hurt and that's all we talk about is our hurt, but no one actually is brave enough to go, okay, I've talked about my hurt, now how can I use that to really understand my power here? Or other times we just keep having one ailment after another because it's a psychosomatic ailment, much more so than a real physical side ailment that's not connected to a psychological issue. And when it comes to women's sexual health, the percentage, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's very, very high in terms of the psychosomatic. And I've seen women, basically, I don't really believe in miracle healings because I just think that they happen. We can really heal some amazing things. But I've seen women be able to shift their bodies, their mind, their hearts. So amazing. And actually not with too much efforting, because not about efforting, it's about really allowing. And come to this place where they're just so much more alive and so much more vibrant, and it really doesn't matter how old they are or what they've experienced. When they come back to themselves, it's like the body knows, the heart knows, the spirit knows, and everything starts to be more alive and animated and beautiful.
I mean, it's true, because when we carry those old experiences around, unresolved, it's like shutting down our life force. It takes a tremendous amount of energy to keep suppressing these hurts and wounds, and it will show up in some form in our life. It will either show up in the quality of experiences and relationships we have, or it will show up in the health of our own body. We can't escape the impact of what we are trying to suppress or shut down or shut off.
Yes, I completely agree. And just to add to that, in case some women are wondering, like, gosh, do I have to immediately, you know, address my sexual stuff and I don't want to go there? And the truth is that with my work, I call it heart-centered sexuality. The first step is not so much about addressing the genitals or the pelvic floor, although that comes within, you know, that realm of work. The first step is to reconnect our heart, so the emotional nature, our feeling nature, with our body, with the womb, the uterus, the life force. And that's a very simple meditation. It's a simple practice, but because it's so simple, it tends to be difficult. And so if the listeners today aren't interested in, say, in addressing right away the physical aspect of sexual healing, the first place to start actually isn't there. It's really to feel, be able to feel your body, be able to breathe into your body and just be at home in that body, even if you have to admit that it's hurting or it's not so happy or not so healthy. That first step of really coming home and accepting this link, this inseparable link that your heart is connected to the body, really starts to shift things right away, actually. So it's a very simple but profound experience.
You know, I'd like you to talk a little bit about some of the work based on Taoism. Now, I know you studied with a renowned teacher, Manchuk Chia, and I'd like you to kind of speak a little bit about that, because when we come back to the second half of the show, I invite you to actually talk more about your work, and your work can be summarized, or at least one way you explain it is the sacred teachings of the Jade Goddess. This is really interesting. Well, we're going to be having quite an intimate conversation about this work, Saida. But before we go there, just kind of, setting the stage, so to speak, so our listeners really understand the origin of these practices, the history of these practices, and how they've been revealed and released into the world.
I'm not sure of the historical origins. I actually have never been able to find an accurate source of where it all started. And I think that's because the female lineage itself wasn't recorded. It was an oral tradition. And I have not met a lineage holder of the feminine traditions at this point. But in the 70s, there was about a couple, maybe a few more teachers from the East that came out. Manchuk Chia was one, Stephen Chang was another. There was a few different male teachers of a particular Taoist lineage that incorporated sexuality as part of the training. So for Westerners, they came at a time just around, just after the whole sexual revolution here in the U.S., and so people were ready and willing and excited to discover that perhaps there was this other way of perceiving sexuality where it had a purpose in healing the body, in making the body strong, maybe even a link to spirituality. So all these concepts came in at that point. And that's where I started, was to investigate that particular school of thought. And then from there, I embraced as well some transpersonal psychology, because these teachings, though they're old and they have a lot of value, people don't live in that same way that they did thousands of years ago. We have hectic schedules, and we're not so connected to nature. We don't have an intimate relationship with our body for the most part. So I needed to understand how the Western mind worked. So that was, I brought in that aspect in that moment. And the rest was really based, and this is important for women to understand, the rest was based on taking the time to listen to the voice in my own body. And I believe that every woman has deep wisdom within her own body, that if she were to take the time to actually listen, she would receive information and guidance that would facilitate her own healing and her own pleasure and her own blossoming.
And, I agree with that. And that sounds so simple. But, of course, in our outer-focused world, we often don't allow ourselves to have time to be with ourselves.
Exactly. And so what I encourage women to do, because first of all, you need to understand or make a priority that your well-being, your health and vitality, if you're not feeling happy, life isn't really that fun. So feeling good in our skin and having a vitality makes life way more fun, and we can be more creative, and we can contribute a lot more to our families and communities. And the second piece of that is this way of life, this practice, the way of integrating sexuality into daily living. It comes from a place of dedication versus discipline, and I always like to stress this because, like, oh no, one more thing to add to my plate of to-do things. And in truth, it's more of a realignment of what it is that's important to us. And if it's important enough for us to take care of, for example, the adrenal health or take care of the tone of the pelvic floor, there are real simple ways of integrating that into daily life that don't take that much time out of the day, and you would do them because you have this dedication to feeling more alive or whatever it is that you choose to dedicate yourself to. So that's an important piece there. And what I have found, when once women know that they have this possibility, it's like it becomes part of their life. It becomes part of their ritual, of their daily routines. And I jokingly like to say, when you leave for work in the morning, you don't leave your genitals by the bedside. You take them with you. So understanding that sexuality is always there, it doesn't mean we're being sexual 24/7, but we have this connection to our life force as much as we wish to. That's a change in paradigm, and it's definitely something that women find a little bit easier to do than thinking that they have to have a humongous shift in this big routine and how they are isn't okay, and all the concerns that come up at that point.
And, you know, the point you made, and I think it needs to be stressed, is that reclaiming our sexual energy is really reclaiming this life force that animates through us into every aspect of who we are. And our culture's kind of focused in ways that misses the real healing power of having this access to this energy and to the innocence around this energy. And that's what we're going to talk about when we get back. And Saida has developed some really interesting practices that is based upon the work she does. That's the sacred teachings of the Jade Goddess. So we're going to take a break, but when we come back, get ready, everyone, because we're going to be going to some interesting places. This is Dr. Cheryl Silman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. We're talking to Saida Desilets, and we're talking about the emergence of the sensual woman. We'll be right back.
Concerned that it seems everything has a label that says made in China. America has a proud heritage of building, inventing, and creating. But now, millions of Americans from all walks of life cannot find work. This jobs crisis threatens our future. Hello, I'm Curtis Ellis with the American Jobs Alliance. Join us every Monday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern as we examine the roots of the jobs crisis and what we can do to make a positive difference. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward. We hope you're coming with us.
I'm Dr. Peter Bregan, author of Talking Back to Prozac, Toxic Psychiatry, and Medication Madness. Listen to my newly syndicated talk show, The Dr. Peter Bregan Hour, and find out why they call me the conscience of psychiatry. Hear my cutting-edge guests expose the dangers of conventional psychiatric diagnosis, drugs, and shock treatment. Learn about better ways, better therapeutic and spiritual approaches to healing ourselves and to making the most of our lives in a responsible, loving, and creative manner. Make your life turn out the way you want. Join me every 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live or on the archive at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dr. Lynn Saputo.
And I'm registered nurse Vicki Saputo. Join us on our weekly Prescriptions for Health call-in talk show on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com every Monday live from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time and from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time.
We'll be talking about current health news, plus Vicki shares her entertaining 2020 health tips at 20 after and 20 to the hour.
And if you miss our live Monday shows, they're archived on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and DrSaputo.com. That's DrSaputo.com.
The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
The Progressive Radio Network, filling your day with progressive moments.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. Welcome back. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we're talking to Saida Desilets. She is the author of Emergence of the Sensual Woman, Awakening Our Erotic Innocence. Well, if that doesn't get your attention, then stay tuned because we're going to be exploring this unique work that Saida is doing around the world. She is teaching women in 11 different countries. I think she's been, you know, traveling and lecturing. I think it's 11, maybe more by now. And she's teaching women what she calls the sacred teachings of the Jade Goddess. Okay, Saida, everyone's got, they're listening to you. You've got everyone's attention. Mm-hmm. I trust we've got everyone's attention now. What is the sacred teachings of the Jade Goddess?
Well, that's a beautiful question. Excuse me for a moment. It involves a process of just coming home to yourself. And it includes physical practices, things that you would do for, say, pelvic health, sexual health, hormonal health. There's actual physical things that people learn, women learn. And then there's the psychosexual nature of it, so there's the emotional piece. And together, they form a complete package. And what I noticed is if we only work on our physical sexual side, and we develop that and it matures and it blossoms, but we don't have a look at what's going on emotionally, then we a little bit have an imbalance in how we interact with the world. And sometimes that can be seen as simply as manipulating other people with our newfound sexual charisma or, that's the main point I want to make with that one, or the opposite is true. So if we only focus on the heart and all the emotional stuff, especially if we're doing a lot of healing, but we don't address the cellular memory in the tissues of the body, then we also don't have a complete cycle in the healing process. So I'm very excited about this work because it's very safe. It's done in a tremendously slow, invitational manner. And the most important piece of this work is to learn how to be with yourself versus doing something about yourself. That's a really important point. It's the art of being a sexual being versus doing something about sexuality.
I know this is such an important area because it's so involved with our healing force within us. It's the healing force that allows us to heal. You know, because of my background as a psychotherapist and a naturopath, I mean, I know that mind-body connection is so deep and so, it's just one continuum, so to speak, and that as we address these issues or address the limitations or address the wounds that we've experienced around our sexuality, whatever we've been taught or whatever we encountered, we are unleashing this tremendous power to heal the body and to have this vitality return into our life. I In one of the chapters in your book, you talk about from multi-orgasm to omni-orgasm. Let's talk about orgasm. We need to have a good conversation about orgasm. What is that all about? What is the purpose of orgasm? What do we need to know that most of us don't know about having an orgasm as a woman?
Well, pleasure, first of all, is the essential ingredient to health. And there's been enough studies now to show that. So when the body is running pleasurable hormonal sequencing, it's vital, it's happy, it's purring, everything works well, digestion, the mind, the muscles, the heal. So much happens when we have pleasure in the body versus when we have stress and then we run a stress hormone cycle and everything starts to shut down and not function as well. So that's the first thing. The second thing about orgasm that's very important to understand is the current living definition in the dictionary is so limited, and I think that's why some women actually believe they've never had an orgasm. I know that I believed I'd never had one when I read that definition myself.
Right.
So I decided to redefine orgasm and to expand it and to include any kind of subtle delight that would run through my body like a current. And so that it wasn't always localized just in the pelvic floor, but that you could start experiencing pleasure in many parts of the body and sometimes in the whole body at the same time. So I believe that this is a birthright because when I've observed young infant babies, really beautiful children, they seem to have profound relationship to pleasure. they're just so integrated with it. It's not a separate occasion. And we have forgotten our pleasure. In fact, I think they say children laugh up to 300 times a day and adults maybe 10. And so this coming back into recognizing that pleasure, for one, is a birthright, and for two, keeps us healthy, then we can start relaxing around orgasm. What happens with orgasm, if women have difficulty with orgasm, which is actually quite common, to be honest, is if that's the case, then there's a lot of stress about having an orgasm. It's almost like something you have to accomplish, a certain goal. And I like to reorient the idea that orgasm isn't an end place. It's a beginning place. It's actually a perpetual place. And what I mean by that is once we can understand that pleasure is always in our body, it just depends when we choose to pay attention to it and when we choose to amplify it, then we can have more of that sensation of pleasure, and we can actually bring that sensation of pleasure to, for example, something that smells really delicious, and we allow that delicious smell to just come into our body and fill us so completely that we actually experience what some people would call an orgasm or a rush of pleasurable sensation. And it had nothing to do with stimulating the genitals. Another way of that might be a beautiful sunset. I've had some amazing experiences with sunsets where you just let that beauty in and touch you so deeply that pleasure is moves through the body. And this isn't a special mechanism. It's not something that actually has to be, how would you say, practiced for many, many years. It's more like giving ourselves the permission to allow what's already there. And the things that get in the way of experiencing that tend to be belief and pain, so any kind of emotional blockage. You're probably familiar with a person called William Reich. In the past, he wrote a lot about the psycho-emotional energy being the libido, and he felt really strongly that when a person could open themselves up and heal on the psychological level, emotional level, then their life force, their libido, that animating energy, would just flood the whole body and run freely in the whole body. And he actually felt that this was one of the highest levels that human beings could attain in their consciousness, because it meant that all those psychological blocks had been opened and accepted. And so I thought that was an interesting model to look at, that somebody in the world of psychology would actually say, hey, you know, there's intelligence in the body, and the body's deeply linked to this, and when we allow ourselves to blossom emotionally, we actually have more pleasure and more aliveness. I was quite excited about that. So that's where the word omni-orgasm came from, is this concept and a living idea and a living experience for me as well, where pleasure isn't limited to just sex, and it's not limited also to just a human interaction, so that you could enjoy nature and you could enjoy a smell or a sensation that could also induce a beautiful, pleasurable experience in the body. But the thing that's in the way of that for most of us is giving ourselves that permission to feel good, and giving ourselves also the permission to create a link between the part of us that is consciously aware of our pleasure. Now, this is a very interesting dynamic, because as young women, we're actually socialized out of noticing our arousal cues. So most women, even healthy women, where there's not been any issues going on for them, they still don't recognize every time that their body is running this pleasurable energy. So what's exciting about what I'm doing with women is we're actually reconnecting the conscious mind with the body in such a way that we start noticing, wow, there's a lot going on here. There's all these subtleties I never knew. I had no idea I could feel this. And that just keeps expanding. And in my world, I've never actually reached a limit. So I call it basically our pleasure potential, or unlimited pleasure. And it's part of allowing ourselves that curiosity and that willingness to start to have a deeper relationship with our body and with who we are, in such a way that it's not always centered on doing something, but also part of us that can relax into really allowing ourselves to just be. And I think that's probably the most profound teaching, is learning to just be.
I know that Taoist principles, and when in the teachings and more of the sacred teachings of Taoism, it's understanding how to work with these circuits of energy through sexuality that are really allowing us to heal and, in fact, opening up and expanding our awareness and consciousness. So it's learning how to understand and appreciate these energy flows that occur when we are experiencing and opening up to our sexual energy in whatever manner that may be. Can you comment a little bit about that, Saida?
Yes, and I want to say it's not strictly a Taoist thing, actually. There was a recent study by a woman named Jenny Wade. She's a researcher in transpersonal psychology, and she wrote this book called Transcendent Sex. And the study showed that they looked at just normal people who had no idea how to meditate. They'd never done any Taoist practice. They never did any tantric practice. They just had no idea that stuff existed. And yet, those same people were having transcendent sexual experiences. And she studied thousands of people, and what she realized was, this is actually our birthright. This is actually something that occurs in every person, that we have this ability to come out of the mundane and experience something a little bigger than who we are through sexuality. So coming back to the Taoist side of things, it is a good model, and because I think a lot of people need a model to look at. They need some kind of structure to play within, and just saying that it's in your body and you have the potential is not that helpful. So sometimes giving them a model, some exercises, some ideas, is a good way to experiment. The only problem here is when you believe that the model is the solution and you forget that it's already within yourself. Mm-hmm. So as much as I've come from that background, I've also been letting it go on some level to remind myself that these are just tools, but what's really important is that I connect in a very simple way. So if people are, who are listening, they don't want to, you know, go into Taoism and learn all this Qigong, and that's okay. There are those people, you can still connect with yourself. You can still heal yourself. You can still learn things and grow and develop your skill as a lover without having to study. So I just wanted to make that point in case it was felt a little elitist or
right.
not inclusive enough.
Which is true. There are many ways to understand. You don't have to operate out of a single model or practice. So here's a question I want to ask you. What do men need to know about women that so women can receive the greatest amount of pleasure in their bodies that men don't know about? What is it that men need to know to help support and pleasure women that men don't know that women need or want?
Well, it's a big question. First of all, it's very, very important that men regard women as powerful. Too many times we see women who've had some kind of wounding as a wounded person. And the person isn't wounded. They've had a wounding experience, but they're a powerful person. So that's the first thing, to see your woman as someone who's powerful. And then the second thing would be to have a curiosity and willingness to slow down and experiment and investigate sensuality. Women are very, very sensual. And a lot of times we've actually shut down one or two or even three of our senses. So as we're coming back into ourselves and waking up our own senses, it's really delicious and helpful to not just jump straight into sexual intercourse or a couple little sexual tricks and then that, but to actually sometimes make the coming together a sensual experience, something that you can perhaps discover new erogenous zones on each other's bodies or just new ways of having fun together. That will create some spaciousness, allowing the woman to just relax. The most important thing for women to be really juicy and alive sexually is to feel relaxed. She also needs to feel your presence, your ability to reveal yourself as a human being. So it's really beautiful when a man is in his own power. He owns his feelings and emotions. He's not afraid of them. He knows how to speak of them. And he also owns his erotic nature. He's claimed that for himself. Those are all elements, I think, that would be useful in a setting where a couple would want to go deeper into healing and deeper into expression, because honestly, when you have love and you have spaciousness, everything is possible, everything. And if your woman gets angry or she shuts down, it's not about you. It's really just a moment where she needs to go back inside herself to integrate, to find out, to figure out. And the more we can allow those kinds of moments to happen, the more transformed the woman can be. So learning to hold that space and being delighted and curious is really, really healthy. And I could say the same for the women towards the men as well. It's just really an important space. And in this era, I've noticed that we as women were so preoccupied with our empowerment that we sometimes forget that men are also in a similar boat. Their own relationship to their own feminine within themselves needs some attention and love and connection. So in the end, I tend to move away from telling people how to live their life and more encourage them how to get curious and be more, ask questions and be more playful. And that's the whole realm of erotic innocence, is starting to get out of this idea of right or wrong or good or bad or whatever it is that you create in your polarity, and start to come into this space where everything is welcomed. It's all welcomed in your play.
Seda, when you teach your courses, do you teach just women, or do you have couples as well in your programs? How do you structure those?
My main passion and focus is with women. So there are women-only programs. That's predominantly what I do. My partner, Soul Sebastian, he works with men. So he has an entire program for men, which is fantastic. It's very different than the women's work, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We arrive at the same place. We arrive at the same place of being integrated, expressed, alive, and juicy. How we get there is different for the masculine and the feminine. And then occasionally he and I will come together and we'll teach couples. But the majority of the work that I do is with the women.
And can you give your website so people can learn more about your work and your workshop?
Yes. The radio-friendly version is jadegoddess.com. That's jade as in the stone and goddess.com. It will take you to a site. This is the DesleeMethod.com. And I have another site about to be birthed in a week. So there'll be a lot of different amazing articles and a lot of information there that women can read and check out.
So the best place to go is jadegoddess.com.
JadeGoddess.com for now. That's the one that's been up for about a decade, and there's a lot of information. There's an online community. It's free, a forum where women can really talk with each other. If you're not sure about something, you can ask, and other women within the community tend to answer. I'll come in once in a while for some clarity on something, but most of the time it's just run by all the different women. These are European women, Canadian, American, and Australian at this point are the predominant groups in the community.
And in the few minutes that we have left, is there anything else that you would like to share and communicate with us?
Yes. I would like to actually give the women just a very simple consciousness practice around their pelvic floor. So just for a moment, become aware of your pelvic floor. See if you can take a few really deep breaths into your belly. And as you breathe, feel like you can actually press slightly down into your pelvic floor and include that area in your breath. And when you exhale, see if you can give your pelvic floor a little squeeze, like you're maybe trying not to go to the bathroom, just that little gentle squeeze as you exhale. So when you inhale, feel like you really expand and soften and really open the pelvic area with your breath. And when you exhale, gently pull that pelvic floor up as though you're trying to lift it like an elevator towards your navel. And that kind of breathing is really important. The slower and the fuller the breath, the more blood flow. You'll bring a lot of fresh circulation into this area. A lot of our problems in this area is because the tissue in this area is not getting enough oxygen and blood flow and exercise. And the pelvic floor is a bit like a trampoline, so if you only ever do squeezing exercises like the Kegels, you're only creating tightness. So you want to have a trampoline, you want to have a lot of tone, but then you want to also be able to completely relax open your pelvic floor. That's just a simple exercise that you can do throughout the day, when you're sitting somewhere, when you're doing the dishes, in your car, even at a board meeting, if it's not that interesting. You could do some of this breathing. No one will know what you're doing, but it will really invigorate you and start to bring some life and vitality into this area of your body.
And what I love about what you just did, they're really simple exercises. It doesn't take, you know, much to do it. It's just remembering that when we are in situations, but it can have such a profound effect on opening the energy and healing and just allowing us to be more accessible to these energies and to the pleasure.
Absolutely. Yes.
And,
thank you
and,
very
you know,
much, Cheryl.
And one last thing, Saida, we're about to go, but as far as being a multi-orgasmic woman, it really is not limited to age, is it?
No.
Speaking
oh, God, no.
Of the older women.
There are so many women post-menopause who, for me, menopause is the power stage of life. And so these women come through menopause, and they're juicier and more sexual than they've ever been their whole life. They have more, they suddenly learn how to have all kinds of different types of orgasms. It's amazing to see what happens when a woman just claims herself. So yes, it's not limited to age. And if you felt that has been the case or your body's been shut down, then just look at this as an invitation into yourself, an adventure into discovering some really deep potential in your pelvis.
Saida, this has been a great conversation. We've come to the end. Thank you so much, and for the wonderful, wonderful work that you're doing with women all over the world.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
Well, everyone, we have been having a great conversation with Saida Desilets. She's the author of Emergence of the Sensual Woman, Awakening Our Erotic Innocence. This is what women must know. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.